Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It is the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Glad you're with us. Doug Matthews and Greg Cosell coming up. Right now, we say hello to Titans general manager John Robinson, who joins us on the show. John, how are you? Welcome.
Good morning. How are we doing, guys?
Excellent. Hey, when you interviewed Matt LaFleur last year for your head coaching position, did he impress you enough to where you're not surprised Green Bay hired him 2 days ago, even though he's called plays for only a year?
Yeah, you know, we saw Matt did a good job. Had a really good understanding of offensive football and had worked with a bunch of good head coaches in his time in the league. He was a sharp guy. He was a detailed guy. When he walked away, we were like, you know, this guy's probably got a chance to run a team someday. You know, didn't think it would be 1 year later, but it's a testament to him. Good luck to him and his family. Proud for them and was proud to work with him for a year.
How much does it stink from the continuity perspective for you guys? It's going to be 5 and 5 years now.
Yeah, you know, that's something that you always, that you always worry about when that day rolls around and the changes start to happen on the Monday after the last game is, are you going to lose any of your staff? And in a perfect world, you want to try to keep that continuity on a year in and year out basis. But for us, we're kind of working through that now, and we'll try to do what's best for the team here at the end of the day.
Do you factor in now? Does Mike factor in now as he hires a replacement? The idea that you don't want the next hot young thing who's going to disappear in a year.
Great question. That's something that you definitely have to be cognizant of, because again, your previous question there, Paul, it really disrupts that continuity that you're trying to build on. But you're trying to do what's best for the team, and you want to try to keep the language and the terminology and the concepts, all those ideas. As you know, you change a little bit every single year, and you add some stuff, you take some stuff away that didn't quite work out so well. That's something that we've definitely talked about and what's been several meetings here over the last 3 or 4 days.
Is that the trend of the league, John? I mean, if you go with the defensive-minded head coach and you don't have a head coach, I guess, that's calling offensive plays, with some success, you're likely to lose the offensive play caller for a head coaching position?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many texts I've gotten here over the last, couple of days about, from defensive coaches around the league. It's like, what's with this trend here of these, the offensive guys kind of going and being hot candidates. I don't know I have an answer for that, of why. But it's certainly, to your point, that's definitely a trend now, as teams are starting to kind of fill vacancies at that head coach position.
Is your commitment to Marcus Mariota the same as it's been since you've arrived?
Again, I think Marcus has done a good job for us. He's made some big plays in my time here. He's a tough guy. He's been dinged up, but when he's been out there, he's done a lot of good things for us. And I'm glad he's on this football team. And he needs to take some time and get some rest and get healthy. And I know he's itching to come back out and work in April whenever we start back. I think nothing's more important to him than his teammates. Really loves his teammates, which is it's really key. And look forward to seeing him when he gets back here in April.
You did not say yes. Very telling. 3 out of 4 finales he has missed. You got to have your guy, I would think, for the last game of the season in a division that's most divisions very likely to come down to the last week. How big a fear? How big a concern is that for this organization?
Yeah, I think that's something that Marcus and I that we talked about. When he and I met at the end of the season is durability and doing what things can take some time and reflect back on his season, or and as we are as you know, in my position and the coaches, what are the things we can do better to help protect him? Are the things he can do better personally to help protect himself? And, you know, we're excited about him being the quarterback here moving forward. And, you know, I think it'll be good when we get back here just to kind of take stock about our thoughts and, you know, what we came up with about ways that we can make sure that he's out there for the duration of the season, you know, for 16 games, because when he's out there, you know, he gives us a good chance to win the game.
Titans general manager John Robinson with us on the show. John, we took a lot of calls from fans wanting to know why Marcus did not play in that final game. And we can sit here and give reasons why. Can you tell us what you can about the lead up to that game and ultimately determining that he would be inactive?
Yeah, you know, it was really, you know, we had a lot of discussions back and forth. We had, you know, several opinions and, you know, doctors and, you know, people way smarter than me. But there was a lot of dialogue that went back and forth. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we decided collectively as a group, as a team, as an organization that, you know, there's nothing more important than the safety of our players. And you have to keep that into perspective. It's a huge push from the league. It's an extremely important push that we're very mindful of, and putting players out there that are, you know, at risk for further injury, or putting them out there if we don't think they can protect themselves. We just didn't think that was the right decision, as pivotal a game as that was for us. You know, the health and safety of an individual, of a human being, that's of the utmost importance. And I think that's our charge from the league, and it's really our charge as humans, is to try to keep, you know, keep guys healthy so that they can, you know, hopefully go on to have long, prosperous careers.
A lot of the fan confusion seems to be he was practicing during the week. Mike said early in the week he was better on Monday than he had been on the Monday after Indianapolis. My understanding is that Watkins' opinion, which obviously is hugely influential as he's a preeminent spine guy in the world, didn't come in until late in the week, maybe Thursday night, maybe Friday. Is that true, and was that part of why it came down to late in the week and things changed late in the week?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, earlier in the week there were some signs of progress. And at the end of the day, the decision was made after, you know, several opinions and talking to several people that it just wasn't at a spot where any of us felt, you know, felt comfortable for him to be out there. And that's the, you know, that's kind of the decision that we kind of made it there, you know, there at the end. We kept monitoring it to see if anything would change there late. But at the end of the day, that's the decision we went with.
The standings say that the Colts were one game better than you. Do you feel like the gap between you and the Colts is one game, or given their hold over you, is the gap between you and the Colts, as many of us believe, a lot bigger than one game?
Yeah, I tell you, the Colts are playing really good football, you know, right now. You know, they've been, you know, good for them. They've been relatively injury free, and they've got that thing going. The system's rolling. Andrew's playing at a really high level, and, you know, they're protecting them and playing pretty good defense. You know, I still thought we had a chance in that game there in the fourth quarter of the last game. It was, I think it was 24-17, and had a chance to get back in it. But, you know, that's a credit to Coach Reich, Chris Ballard, and that staff for getting those guys going. And, you know, we've got a, you know, it's going to be important off season for us to get healthy, our players that are returning to get healthy, and then for us to, you know, to kind of retool this roster and add some more pieces to it.
I know you're going to say it's a big team thing, so I'll take that off the board. Are you arm wrestling with Chris Ballard? Are you in a mano fight with Chris Ballard?
No.
Yes, you are. Come on.
That's definitely. I got a ton of respect for Chris.
You see him at the combine, will you fight with him?
That's it. That we will not. Chris Ballard and I will not spar. You know,
verbally.
No, not at all. You know, he's an old 1AA football coach, you know, like myself, that kind of cut his teeth in the bus league. And, you know, he got into personnel, and he was an area scout, and we used to kind of run the roads a little bit together and try to find players. And, you know, the good Lord opened up doors for him and opportunities for him to grow in this league, as he did for me. And, he's a great family man. I've got a ton of respect for him and what he's done there. So there will definitely be no sparring with Chris. And I'll say this, like, he really when Dean had that incident there when we were up in Indy, he took it upon himself to go to the hospital and check on him afterwards, and texted me and, you know, told me if Mel or Dean need anything to text him and let him know. And I thought that was really, really awesome of him to, you know, after a big division win against us there, to take time upon it to go check on a rival coach.
A year ago on this very show, John Robinson, the general manager of the Titans, announced that they would exercise Marcus Mariota's fifth-year option. Would you care right now to tell us that you will exercise Jack Conklin's fifth-year option? And would you care to tell us the price tag on that option, which is so far unknown?
Yeah, we're kind of still waiting on the final numbers on all of that.
You know,
we go to the labor seminar in December, and they kind of give us some rough estimates, but they always tell us nothing's final. They're still going through all the calculations on there. You know, it's going to be an important off season for Jack to get healthy and get back to the level that he's played at previously here. You know, I know he really works hard. You know, I thought he came back. Even though he was on PUP, or, you know, he really did a good job of kind of transforming his body. He gained some muscle up top, and he was looking good. So, you know, hopefully he can take that same approach this off season and come back ready to go when we're back at it.
John, when you took this job, you immediately went to work up front in the trenches. Did you see the physical play that you wanted to up front, or as much physical play as you wanted to, both offensively and defensively?
Yeah, great question. You know, I think there were certainly times throughout the course of the season where we really played a physical game up front. The New England game, I think, comes to mind. And I think really for all the position groups, it was just about consistency over the course of the season. You know, there was a stretch there where we played really good football. The New England game, the Philly game, the second half of the Dallas game. You know, there were some times where we were really clicking on all cylinders. And then we hit a four-game stretch there at the end to win four, and came up a little short at the end there in the last game. But I thought there were signs of physicality, and I thought there were signs of really good play at a lot of positions. And we've got to build on those good things, you know, and try to eliminate some of the negatives.
John, help us settle a discussion that we had yesterday on the show. From an organizational perspective, if another NFL team requests to speak to one of your coaches that's under contract, not for a head coaching position, do you default to letting those guys seek opportunities elsewhere if they want to go interview and talk to them? Do you default to they're under contract, you can't talk to them? Or is it simply a case-by-case basis with every coach that's contacted, considering every position they're contacted about?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I really think it's the latter. I think you look at the situation, you look at, you know, are you going to have a coach that you think can come in and do the job at the same level, or is the coach, you know, really too key to kind of what we're doing to lose them? You know, it's hard, it's tough, you know, but at the end of the day, it's our charge to do what's best for the Titans. And we don't necessarily say no out of the jump, but, you know, we talk about it. Mike and I talk about it, and talk about it with the coach if that situation comes up, and then try to do what's best for the team.
You signed Josh Klein and Daquan Jones to pretty lucrative contracts this offseason. Did the play that they gave you in the first year of those contracts meet the expectation that came with the finances of those contracts?
Yeah, I think, you know, with both of those guys, I thought, you know, two new position coaches, two kind of new schemes. I thought that, you know, that Daquan, to speak to him first, I thought at the end of the year. You know, some of the techniques, some of the things that we were asking to do, you know, I start to see those kind of come to fruition over the second half of the season. I think he got better as the season went on, and you know, we're going to be really counting on him moving forward into next season. And with Josh, I think it was very similar. I thought there were some games where Josh and the offensive line as a whole, and I always speak to that group in particular, is because I think, you know, you can always single out one person on one play, but all five of those guys have to play with good continuity and rely on each other to, you know, if they happen to overset or miss, somebody's got their back and kind of picks them up. It's a little different than a receiver or a DB where sometimes it's just, you know, it's mano a mano. But I thought Josh did some good things. There's certainly some things that he's got to continue to work on and improve on, and, you know, as do a lot of players on our team.
Is Derrick Henry the singular building block for this offense going forward? Do you look at him as the guy he was in the final third of the season, or could the final third of the season have been the aberration, and could he be the guy we saw in the first two thirds of the season?
Well, I tell you what, I was really proud of Derek. I think the 99-yard run has been shown about a million times on all these sports shows. But I think he really kind of he found his way there. I thought he ran more decisive. He ran angry. He is a big man. He is a strong man to try to tackle when he gets through the line. And really fast for a big guy once he gets into the open field. You know, Derek really, he always attacks the off season and does a great job of lifting and getting himself back in shape to roll. Not that he's ever out of shape during a football season, but I think if he can build on that mentality that he had down the stretch there for us, you know, it will certainly be pivotal for our success next fall.
How quickly does the process of the new OC need to happen?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of like anything. You want to have some urgency to it, but you also want to be mindful and not just jump into something. You know, like I've said, Brable and I have had several meetings over the last 3 or 4 days. You know, you're seeing who's out there, and does his style or, you know, maybe his history kind of match with what we want to do? And to the earlier question about the continuity and the terminology and the concepts, you know, kind of being mindful of that too. So for the players, you know, so the players aren't having to learn, you know, a totally new system. Are they going to be able to incorporate some of the things that we liked from last year? So we're working through that now. Certainly don't have a timeline on it, but at the end of the day, we just want to try to, you know, do what's best for the team and get the right person in here and for that side of the ball.
Titans GM John Robinson has been our guest. John, thank you for the time this morning.
Thanks a lot.
Outstanding. Happy birthday to our anniversary, wow. I've heard.
Thank you very much.
Little bird told me, congratulations.
All the big shots are taking notice of that.
Exactly.
We appreciate that basket of liquor you sent over. Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't start hitting it too early.
Thank you, John.
See you guys. Have a great one.
All right, you too. John Robinson has been our guest. Midday 180 served up by Wendy.